Ben is the guy that I'm calling on the phone. I'm calling on the phone today, and I'm calling Ben on the phone. Ben on the phone today.
Puggity.
Hey Ben, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I am in the room that I normally record in, which is my bedroom,
Right.
and the fan is on, and because of the fan and the lights and everything, it has a strobing effect, and I'm finding it
So
distracting. So I may
I take
go and
it.
turn it off, or
It's a ceiling
sorry, go
fan.
ahead.
It's a ceiling fan you're talking about.
Ceiling fan. Did I just say the fan?
You
Yeah,
just said
it's
the fan.
ceiling fan.
Well, I mean, seeing as how it was making the light strobe, kind of, led me to
Yeah.
believe or to understand what you're talking about. But yeah, I know what you mean. I have a ceiling fan in my apartment, but the light is underneath it. The light is not above it. So when the
Oh,
fan is
no.
on.
The light's underneath it on this one too, but the light is going from where it is, right, up to the white ceiling,
Yeah.
and then the shadows of the fan are causing the strobing. So it's not a
Gotcha.
huge strobing effect, but there is one.
I generally
So
don't
yeah.
have the fan light on when I have the fan on because I don't like the way that it illuminates my apartment. I prefer my my own little lamps that
Ah,
I
yes.
place around the joint. And not just, if I'm trying to find something or like if I'm like building a bookcase or something in the middle of my apartment, I'll turn that overhead light on, but other than that, it stays off.
Oh
Riveting.
yeah, I know people who prefer that. In fact, some people that I work with, they actually bring lamps in to their offices and have their own, like, controlling their lighting.
Right.
It helps it become their space, kind of.
Yeah. And
So
just,
yeah.
I can see doing that at work. I can't do that. Well, I couldn't do that when I was working at the large internet company recently because my desk was right next to a floor-to-ceiling window that looked out over downtown Seattle.
Yes. Wait a second. A floor-to-ceiling window, downtown Seattle, large internet company. I certainly can't figure it out,
Yeah,
but I'm sure someone could.
divine from that all you want. How's it going?
So I got a couple things to talk about.
Okay.
It's going pretty well. As you know, holiday season
Yeah.
going on. I am going to go to, did I talk to last week about how Indianapolis is actually closer to Chicago?
You talk you
I mean, closer to, we are closer to Indianapolis than
Right,
Chicago
you said that you were
is
going there
to
to
us.
see you're going there to see Book of Mormon, but you did not mention their relative locations.
Okay, so that was one of the things, is that we were going to go and see Book of Mormon in Chicago, but unfortunately, it was only going to be there like the weekend that we decided to go, and it wasn't going to be logistically great. But yeah, it turns out Indianapolis closer, like by an hour,
Really?
to us than, yeah. Now, but here's the interesting thing, okay?
Yeah.
This is what it's sort of a logic puzzle, right? Even though, well, you're going to get it right away, but
I'm assuming it's not closer geographically, but it is closer if you drive because it takes longer to drive into Chicago than it does to drive into
well, here's
Indianapolis.
this is the thing. This is the thing that's a little crazy. Even though it's closer, if I leave here and drive to Chicago, or I leave here and drive to Indianapolis, I'd get to either of those locations at the same time.
Right.
How is it possible?
Indianapolis is further away. I'm just assuming Chicago has worse traffic.
No. Indianapolis is actually closer.
Okay.
How would I get there at the same time? Indianapolis is in an earlier time zone.
Oh.
So I would still, even though I'm, so if I leave and I'm going to get to Chicago at 5, If I leave, I'll get to Indianapolis at 5, but I'll actually be an hour earlier.
Right.
Ha-ha! And I don't know if that's actually correct. I'm pretty sure it's correct. I think so. Yeah. So that's happening. Do you remember the comic book The Invisibles?
I never read it, but I know of it.
Do you know that I liked it? That it was a big comic book that I liked?
We may have talked about it. I don't recall, Senator.
They are going to be making a TV show off of it.
Is this on that DC Universe channel?
It's not actually. Okay. It might show on there, but the people that are making it are the people that made the sci-fi channel thing Happy, which is Patton Oswalt as a flying cartoon horse.
I don't know that.
It's also based on a Grant Morrison comic book. So I'm betting it's going to air on the Sci-Fi Channel. And we'll see how it does.
Grant Morrison just signed a deal with Universal Productions, something like that. We just talked about this on the podcast recently, on the Perfect Bound podcast. Yeah, yeah. So this must be one of those projects.
Yeah, we are talking about the exact same event, yes.
Yeah.
That this is one of those projects. It's going to be the first one, from what I understand. Which is great, because Invisibles is... I have the Invisibles Omnibus on my bookshelf. It is one of my favorite comics. If not, my favorite comic.
Ah. What makes it so great for you?
It's all conspiracy weirdness and stuff. You know, my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Things I enjoy. I don't want to give anything away, but...
I think the statute of limitations has expired for Invisible spoilers.
The basic thing is that when The Matrix came out, Grant Morrison was a little bit miffed because there were some similarities.
Oh, was he?
Between his thing and that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's basically, you know, people fighting against a thing. That kind of deal.
Well, he is. He does practice the dark arts of shamanism, and so, you know, I can see where he would think that there's a
chaos magic.
Yeah, chaos magic that people had stolen from him.
Oh well, yeah, or maybe he feels like, man, doesn't the universe steal from everybody?
Who knows? I should not have put that idea out there because the universe stole it and put it in this other movie.
Yeah,
nothing to do with.
So I'm pretty jazzed about that. There was a snake in our house.
I saw that on the Twitters.
Did you see the full thing? I have it pinned.
I didn't. I don't know if I saw the entire thread.
Did you see Jennifer take the snake out?
No, I did not.
Okay. And when I say take it out, she didn't like kill it. she
double tap.
She grabbed it and held on to it.
Right.
And then we put it in a Tupperware, and now it's in the woods.
What kind of a snake was it? Do you know?
Well, this is the thing, is that she thinks it might be poisonous. It looks similar.
Guessing she grabbed it with bare hands then?
Well, no, she didn't grab it with bare hands. She was wearing gloves.
Okay.
And the gloves didn't, it bit her a couple times.
Oh, really?
You know, but the fangs couldn't actually penetrate the gloves. So that was kind of cool. Now, of course, Ben, it's time for me to talk about the thing that probably, if you've been following me on Twitter, you know that I'm obsessed with right now. It's another podcast. Do you know what I'm going to start talking about?
I do not pay that close attention to when I'm just casually scrolling through Twitter in the morning.
Okay. So there's a podcast by two Australian comedians, Tom Walker and Demi Laudner. It's called BigSoftTitty.png.
What was that name again?
BigSoftTitty.png. And it's basically, this is the thing that's, do not misunderstand me when I say this. It's similar to our podcast in absolutely no way, shape, or form, except for the fact that there's not really a format.
Right.
But they get
people to listen because the title is possibly one that you might have in your porn folder on your computer.
Exactly. That's why it's. I think that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
But they're both two really funny stand-up comedians. I did not know that they were dating. I did not know that they had a podcast together. And the basic way it worked out was. So I followed Tom Walker already. I followed Tom Walker because he did this really, really funny bit that I recently retweeted again because I love it so much. Where I can't really describe it. You know, if you see my Twitter feed, just look for it because I don't want to ruin anything.
It's a multimedia podcast. We're just going to talk about things Paul retweets.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is called Look at Paul's Twitter, the podcast.
.png.
PMG. Paul Michael Goody. Paul Michael Glazer, not the same. Okay, so this is the basic thing. So he's really funny. And then he posted this thing. And it was, there were two different posts that he did. One was, look at how well Lardner fits in this wine barrel that she bought for a bath. And then the other one was picture of a monster from Japan that sneaks in to your house and takes a bath and leaves hair all over the place. And if you touch the hair, you die. And I had retweeted that with a thing that said, "It me," which people liked. And then later on, Tom Walker posted a thing saying, this is basically Demi Lardner. And I was like, okay, I need to find out who this person is. And so I looked her up and she had a stand-up thing and it was funny. And then on there, she had a thing that said, I do a podcast with Tom Walker. So I listened to the podcast. The most recent episode, it was really funny. So I went back to the beginning and I'm currently on, I think, like number 36.
Wow. You're just something. Ripping there, through those, aren't you?
Yeah. I've suspended listening to any other podcast. I'm only listening to it.
How long are they?
They're about an hour.
Holy crap, dude.
So. So, I am I'm burning through them like pretty quickly, and it really. I feel like I know them, even though I really don't.
You know, I bet you if somebody listened to this show for all 147 episodes, they'd probably get the feeling that they know who we are too.
But, and that's the thing, do they? I think they might. I really think that they might at least know portions of us.
Well, I mean, except for that one episode, we generally don't play characters here.
Yeah, that's true. And I was talking to, you know, when I did the reality show, I met some of the people on it, and they were like, oh, this is so weird. They were talking to me, and they're like, because I've been watching you 8 hours a day, every day for the past, you know.
Right.
However long, editing stuff that you're saying.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, there's no way that they couldn't feel like they knew me after that. Same sort of thing, I think.
I had that experience when I was working in the big glass tower downtown. Because my job was to edit video that starred mostly people who worked in the company. And every once in a while, I would see someone in the hallway. And I'd be like, oh, hey, it's that bro. They don't know who I am.
Yeah. So wait, can I ask you?
Probably not.
Is this internal video or is this like a broadcast video?
No. It was internal.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's all I wanted to know. Because otherwise, that'd be really weird. I mean, a TV show about a company and the people that work in it? No one would want to watch that. That's for sure. especially if it's on at 1:30 a.m. But that's another story.
Oh, that only happened for the finale of your show.
Yeah, that's right. It was on for like 11 p.m. and then it just steadily moved backwards until
I will say though that I watched it when it was on, except for that last one. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna watch this on the website tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, and that's fine. I didn't really watch them that much. Just like I don't listen to this that much. When I do it, I figure, well, that's good enough.
Right.
Although I do think that there's going to be a time like 20 years from now or whatever, if all of these are still available at that time, where I would listen to them and be like, oh, right. Yes, I remember.
Well, hopefully they will still exist in 20 years. I've been spending a lot of time migrating all the Perfect Bound podcast to its own website. Now, this podcast, you know, you get to this podcast by going to GoodyLawrence.com, but what that does is it just redirects you to my website, BenjaminLawrence.com/GoodyLawrence.
Yes.
Then you click on the podcast link and whatever. And that's what I'd been doing for the Panel Jumper and the Perfect Bound podcast. Both those URLs redirect to my website /ThePanelJumper or /PerfectBoundPodcast. And I've had this for the longest time. I'm like, well, you know, I should give those things its own, their own domain. And now after 200 episodes of the Perfect Bound podcast, I finally pulled that trigger. And so I have to... everything doesn't always transfer over when you like export from WordPress and import to WordPress what you just exported. So I gotta fix a lot of things, and it's just and WordPress recently like changed their UI with version 5.0. They're like, hey, now it looks more like Squarespace, and I'm like, I hate Squarespace. And it's like relearning everything too, which is a pain in the butt. But so what I'm saying is I'm putting a lot of work into this. It better be around 20 years from now.
Yeah. I hear you. Oh, I was just talking about, you know, lots of things can happen between now and then.
Global thermonuclear war.
Exactly. Hopefully we're all around 20 years from now. it's too early to get into this, Ben, but I wanna tell you something that I saw that made me a little not sad, but a little nervous, I guess.
Okay.
And hey, if you don't like us talking about politics, skip maybe 10 minutes ahead. That's gonna be my guess. All right. We'll see.
Well, we're at 18 minutes now, so let's see what happens.
So there was an interview I watched. Hillary Clinton was on it.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton had said, and this was aimed at sort of the more left of the left, that if you don't, and I wish I could quote it, but I can't. It was if you don't want to vote for Democrats, then go somewhere else.
Huh.
And I'm just concerned about what my timeline is going to look like on Twitter in 2020. Because I feel like it's going to be maybe a repeat, but maybe even worse than 2016, where my friends all sort of fracture around, you know.
Yeah, is it going to be Bernie versus Hillary once again?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, specifically those two, but like, you know, you have...
But the same sort of thing, exactly. And the thing is, I'm trying to figure out how it really works, because I have some friends who are, you know, not necessarily Republicans, but they're you know, more on the conservative side of things. And those guys, right, I have a category I can put them into. You know, oh, I'm never going to talk about politics with these guys, and I'm, you know... These are things that, you know, I think we all have those friends. mostly on Facebook, probably. I'm not on Facebook, so I have those friends on Twitter. Where it's like, okay, you and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of this stuff, but I still, you know, have history with you, and we still like some of the same things, and, you know, let's work this out. But there's something weird about people that I think should get along not getting along that weirds me out a little bit too much. And 9 times out of 10, I try to side with the group that I think is being most genuine.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's being most straightforward, being most... And I gotta say that when things get rough like that, it's hard to tell sometimes who's being genuine and who isn't. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean,
whose side should I be on in this case?
I think everybody in their own mind is being genuine when it comes to like that. When it comes to that, you know, people who were in, you know, Team Hillary, they felt they were genuine, and people who were Team Bernie probably felt they were genuine as well. You know, and both sides villainize the other.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about more with the villain is that, like yes, you know, the you liking the person that you like, I don't disagree that that's, I believe that that is true, right? But I'm talking more like, I saw a guy in the grocery store the other day, and he said that if I didn't like what he liked, he was gonna stomp on my foot or whatever. Like, things like that. I mean, those things happen all the time. Normally, and I hate to, you know, be a dumb guy or whatever, but normally it's the people that I like versus the people that I don't like. And so I can go, oh, the people I don't like are liars, and just feel fine about it, you know. Just writing people off is something that's great about a two-party system when it's working like that, because you don't have a lot of friends on the other side. And I'll give you another great example. So let's say, for example, that Jennifer gets into an argument with another parent at Betty's school. Now, that is not happening. I want to stress that also. But
currently, at the moment.
Right, exactly. If that argument were to take place, because I'm married to her, unless something is glaringly bad, right? If I can see both sides of a situation, oh, I can see this side, I can see that side, it's easy. I side with Jennifer. We're married. We're a team.
Right.
You know, I can see the other person's side, but when it comes time to choose a side, I know which side I'm on.
Right.
Because it's pretty obvious. I like when things are not easy necessarily, but when there's a clear, like, okay, because there is no real, you know, fact, this is all emotion, I'll choose the side that I'm more emotionally invested into, right? When it comes to factual inconsistencies, that's when I get a little crazy and weirded out and stuff. And I think there's going to be a lot of that as we go into this thing.
You know, when we go in the run-up to the 2020 Democratic primary, we might actually look back on the 2016 primary and say to ourselves, man, we had it good back then.
Yeah, exactly.
It was easy.
That's what I was thinking about in the 2016 thing. I was like, you know, Clinton and Obama was a pretty bad scene. Clinton v. Obama. There was some stuff that I didn't like that was going on, and I remember it distinctly. But
I never felt, though, for during that one, that it got as ugly as it did between the supporters of Clinton and the supporters of Obama than it did between Clinton and Sanders.
Here's what I would say. It did get bad, But here's the difference. It stopped being bad when the, or stopped being as bad, I'll say that, when the person was chosen. When Obama got the nomination, it was not bad after that.
I don't know. I mean, you must have been running in different circles than me during that time, because I don't remember, like, I remember 2016 clearly, you know, and people are still upset about that. And each side blames the other one for Trump being
president.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
But I never got that. Never got that with, during 2008.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I never heard any Clinton supporters badmouth Obama supporters or vice versa.
Well, no, it wasn't the supporters as much as it was the candidates.
Well, no, see, that's what I'm talking about. It are the supporters. I'm not talking about the candidates.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the way, quote, Bernie Bros and, quote, whatever nickname you want to give to supporters of Hillary Clinton. I'm with hers. You know, they're still upset.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Do you know why I believe that is?
Why do you believe that is?
Okay. I thought you knew, but I will tell you. That is where this meddling stuff comes in, basically. You know, the influencing of these, and here's the thing, it's not just Russia, it's a lot of other entities, right? But when you look at Twitter accounts, this will be pretty easy to explain, I think.
You see, saying Twitter is to blame for the animosity amongst the Democratic Party.
No. Twitter is not to blame.
Don't blame the messenger.
Twitter was a tool used by people, and it goes basically like this.
How is that any different?
Well,
can you not blame the tool?
No.
If that tool didn't exist, then what?
Well, I mean, I could get to the history of dirty tricks and stuff like that. I mean, it is a tool like any other. Basically, it's a different tool, and so we're seeing different things. But this is the basic idea. I'll just lay it down, and then you can, you know, draw from it how you want. So you are the Clinton campaign, let's say. And Bernie Sanders is getting a lot of steam, so you come up with this thing where you talk about how Bernie Sanders basically has most of his support with young, angry men. Even if it's not true. It's just a thing that you say. Right? Because you're trying to do some sort of psychological manipulation. Oh, these are the kind of supporters of this person. And you see this happen. I use that as an example, but you see it happen. This person is supported by Ivy League elites, or oh, this person is supported by union thugs, or whatever. You know what I mean? There are lots of different versions of that. The thing that was different about when Twitter was around is that someone, and it especially doesn't have to be that campaign, right, can make an account that is exactly what people are saying the supporters of Bernie Sanders are like. So I make an account that says Bernie's going to win Bernie's going to win 375. And then I log on to that and I'm just a huge asshole to everybody. And then you, who have been spoiling, waiting to see the bad Bernie Sanders supporter say something, see this account and you go, aha, that is the thing that I'm talking about. That is the bad guy right there. And the point that we are at right now is a little bit before everybody is keyed. People are almost learning, but they're not learning fast enough. I'll give you an example. There's a thing saying that most of the, or a lot of the Russian sock puppet accounts were mimicking Bernie Sanders supporters. That's something that, have you read that?
No, I haven't read a lot of the supposition of what the Russian bots were doing.
Well, there was a report and it mentioned that. And I know that because, and then many Hillary Clinton supporters said, you see all of Bernie Sanders' supporters fell for this propaganda that these fake Russian Bernie Sanders supporters were doing. They're awful or whatever. And it's one of those things of people almost getting there, right? Because, yeah, maybe Bernie Sanders supporters saw that and saw these fake accounts and believed what the fake accounts were saying. But in the same way,
I mean, it was confirmation bias.
Right. But and that's the point, is that what people don't see, but I think you'll understand. And again, I have people, friends on both sides of the issue who also understand this. If I'm a troll, right? You know, we say bots, but lots of times people use bots incorrectly. There are some bots that are out there that just hammer away and say stuff and all that, but there are also bad actors who are humans,
right,
pretending to be things. And the thing that a lot of people don't get, but I think you can understand it, I think you do understand it. If I'm making fake accounts, right, for the purpose of swaying people's opinions and things like that, I don't make just a Bernie Sanders supporter account. I also make a Hillary supporters account, and I make some Trump supporter accounts, and I have all of those accounts fight each other. So that you, Ben Lawrence, are the only actual real person dealing with all these folks who are fighting with each other, and I make you sick of politics, and I make you not want to vote. That's an example of how this operation would work. Just today, my wife told me that in 2016, relatives of hers who believe themselves to be centrists, didn't have a candidate that they could vote for between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
So my point is how much influence does Twitter as a tool have amongst this, you know, the apathy that users of Twitter try to perpetuate amongst these centrist voters, right? Because in 2008, Twitter was a thing, but it wasn't as big of a thing. Not everybody was on Twitter. In 2004, less so, and, you know, and so on down the line until, you know, before it was created. So it's, you know, it's this information age where everybody, you can see anything written by anybody that's, you know, whereas it used to be just, you know, your vetted reporters on your local paper. So, I mean, people were always, always terrible. Saying. Now we just know about it. And so if do you want to blame Twitter for people being jerks?
Yeah, no, see, I don't. That's me though. I think what has happened is we as consumers of this information haven't evolved quickly enough. And I know that people don't discern what they read. They just pass it along without checking. Hey, is this true?
Right.
You know, they're not good gatekeepers basically. And that's why I'm saying I wouldn't necessarily blame the tool,
but
much as I would the way that people use it.
It's not surprising that we haven't evolved past that because we never had to do that.
Well, yeah, and
read
and
something.
How long has Twitter been around? Like not even 10 years, right?
The first it's been about 11 years. The first time I heard of it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking. I keep on forgetting that I deleted some of my accounts and started over. But yeah, the basic.
I apologize for my coughing.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the. Excuse me. Yeah.
I apologize for Paul's coughing as well.
I got it from you.
It's like sneezing.
But yeah, this is yawning. This is the problem is that confirmation bias in the age of Twitter, if you search for it, you will find someone with that opinion.
And we're also singling out Twitter. This isn't just isolated to Twitter. It's most social media networks, Twitter and Facebook.
The reason this is the thing, is on Facebook, you know the people more often than you don't. You know what I mean?
True. Like, you see more often than not, yes. But you do see posts from people you don't know. You do see posts from organizations, you know, shady organizations.
Sorry.
You only see them because a friend of yours had, you know, shared it.
Right, exactly. And so that's the thing that I would say. Twitter is different. And this is, again, if I hadn't deleted the account that wrote this stuff, I would be able to show you or direct you to it. But basically, towards the end of the 2016 election, I was like, don't argue with anyone that you don't personally know, because it's not... you're not going to benefit at all from it.
Could be a Russian.
And you don't know it's not just could be a Russian, you know, it could be,
no, I know.
It could
I'm
be just... somebody who works for a rival campaign. It could be some kid. It could be, you know, you're wasting.
Yeah.
Well, you're wasting time and giving people access to your head.
That's
basically.
An age old adage too. It's just like, you know, don't argue with people on the internet. It's pointless.
Yeah. And the one other thing I will say is that, you know, like I said, there are people that I'm friends with who care much more about politics than I do, who normally, you know, think the same things that I think about things. But if I were to question them about their belief systems, that would be it for me with them. And I, you know, I'm very careful, as much as possible anyway, with that sort of thing, because it is a little dangerous territory, I suppose.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll mention, there's a guy who, I follow these two people and they were talking, they're both, you know, high profile Twitter users, you know, in the thousands, 100,000s, you know, that larger people who are like, oh yeah, this guy who was a political tweeter guy, has me blocked. And somebody said, oh yeah, this guy has me blocked too. And I never even interacted with this guy, they say. And he's like, yeah, we're probably on some list. And I go and look at this account. I am not blocked. I read the account. The account is very, you know, a certain type of, you know, the basic, you know, Democratic Socialists are going to ruin the Democratic Party. We have to stick with, you know, Joe Biden, that kind of stuff. This type of person, and I'm like, huh, well, that was weird. I go away, I come back, and this person now has me blocked. And I have, you know, 275 followers.
Did you interact?
I've never talked to this person.
Did you interact with the account at all?
I didn't interact with the account at all. That was the weirdest thing. And so in researching, looking at all this or whatever, there are block lists that people pass around. And the basic idea is that they block specific people and everyone that follows them. So you're shutting off huge sections of Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And all of these people are strangers to you. That's, I think, the big thing about Twitter, and this is what I was going to say when I say it's sort of a propaganda thing. The problem with the Russian bots, quote-unquote, I'm putting quotes, is that people assume that the only fake accounts are ones that are like John 8572534 or, you know, proud Trump supporter 82 whatever.
Yeah.
You know, things that are obvious. You know, they say look for accounts that were made, you know, less than a year ago with under this many followers and all this kind of stuff.
Or accounts that have forgotten to turn off location and they are posting from Russia.
Exactly. But the thing is, of course, that, you know, the influencers, the people that are trying to use Twitter to change your mind about things, aren't just from Russia, you know, and they aren't just from a foreign country. You know, they're inside this country. They're members of this political party, and they're members of that political party, and they're people who work for this company.
Well,
There's
also instances of people doing it just to watch the world burn. I remember seeing this story of somebody who set up a fake news site and basically posted anti-Clinton articles that this dude just made up. And it got posted and reposted thousands and thousands of times on social media. And, you know, this dude got some notoriety from, you know, respectable news organizations by saying maybe these news stories moved the needle a little bit.
Oh, when
they interviewed him, he was basically like, yeah, I was just doing it for fun.
And now, see, that's something that I would caution against. Just doing something for fun, right? He may be telling himself that. But he had a reason for picking that rather than, you know, aliens
or whatever.
I
could try to play armchair psychologist and say that the reason was because this guy has been neglected his entire life and wanted to be important.
Well, not just that, but also possibly he doesn't like women.
Example. That's also
you know,
possible.
Why he picked that as a regular thing.
Yeah.
And this is the big thing that I keep coming back to. I'm sure that they exist. I'm sure that these people exist, but no one that I know who considers themselves a Democrat skipped out on the election or didn't vote for Clinton.
Right.
But everybody is still fighting that fight with each other. And that's, you know, why I made the statement, you know, if you think that this stuff stops when the election's over, no, you're wrong. The fact that we're still fighting about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And people were like, oh, a few, thank God the 2016 election is over. Now we can get on with normal elections. And no, it is going to get worse. In fact, there was, before the midterms, there was a hashtag movement on Twitter that was started by the Republicans to try to convince Democrats to leave the Democratic Party. And I forgot what it was, but it was basically just, you know, they would use stock footage or stock images of people. I think it was even like the Colbert Report, or not Colbert, the Late Night with Stephen Colbert showed, you know, side-by-side images of like these hashtag leave, hashtag Democrat leave or something like that. And, you know, the profile pictures or like the memes that were posted. Oh, no, it wasn't Stephen Colbert. It was John Oliver. And
okay.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, we don't know where this is coming from, but it's obviously fake because, you know, this was a hired model, you know, who probably got $150 to pose for his friend,
yep,
you know, who was a photographer. And now he's being used as the face of the leave the Democratic Party or don't vote Democratic in the midterms. And it was just basically one of those ploys that, you know, whoever wanted, you know, Republican operatives or Russians, whoever, you never know, just wanted to be an influencer.
Yeah, and that's the one of the things that I and I guess this is a good way to wrap up this discussion.
Yeah, we went a little over 10 minutes.
Yeah, sorry about that. One of the things that I mentioned just this week was something I thought of. You know how you have the what is it, autonomic nervous system, or like breathing, stuff like that, where you don't think about it. And it
breathing,
just works.
Your heartbeat, etc.
The idea that there are conspiracies out there where you don't need a shadowy organization to do anything. You just have people operating independently, doing what they think other people want them to do. So as an example, you know, you have attacks against, you know, the attack against the synagogue, for instance, right?
Which one?
Oh, the one in Philadelphia. Is that right? Was it Philadelphia?
I don't know. There've been a couple.
Pennsylvania. I just think the basic thing is that you don't need anyone to tell you to do it. You know what I mean? If you're a crazy person, I'm putting crazy person in quotes, who thinks that this is a solution for something, you're going to be able to come up with what you think the right thing to do is. No one's going to have to tell you, but people do create a mood where this kind of stuff can happen.
And that's the danger of the of interconnectivity and the democratization of being able to put information out into the world. You know? Oh, long are the days of when not everybody had a voice.
Yeah, it's true. Did we talk about that already? Crank letters? Did I mention that?
Crank letters?
Yeah, back when I was a kid, there were these things called crank letters, or the crank file, that newspapers would use every once in a while, where people would write in letters and say, the stoplight on Main Street should be removed. Back in my day, we didn't have stoplights. Everybody just kind of knew what the right-of-way was. And, you know, what are we, children? ? And they'd print it on a slow news day to have something to...
I don't like the man telling me when I have to stop and when I have to go.
And basically what happened is, with Twitter and Facebook and all that, everything is the crank file now.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard to hear the more nuanced voices over the mob.
Separating the wheat from the chaff, as they say.
And then, obviously, you know, the good news for you...
Me?
And not you specifically, Ben, I'm sorry. The good news for the echo chambery people in the world is that now they can choose the exact thing that they want to hear and hear it as long as they want to.
Yep. That's a good thing,
and
huh?
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? It's super.
I don't know.
I've talked before about the fracturing of reality, and it's going to happen so often. You know, I've said this to my colleagues at work before. Ben, have you ever been to New York City?
I have.
Name a place where you haven't been.
Where I have not been?
Yeah. A famous place that you haven't been.
Well, there's a lot of famous places I haven't been. I've not been to Rome. I've not been to the Colosseum in Rome.
Okay, I also have not been to the Colosseum in Rome. But you and I have both seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
You know, we know that it exists. We've heard about it and all that. If there was a news report that the Colosseum in Rome had been blown up, and let's say it's not even a terrorist act, it's just they demolished the Colosseum of Rome.
They needed to build a highway.
And then they're right, exactly. Romans up in arms, destruction. And then we see a picture of rubble where the Colosseum of Rome used to be. For you and I, that picture of rubble and the accompanying news story would be enough to destroy the Colosseum of Rome for us. Until somebody came and said, oh no, that's not true.
But it is true. I just saw it. It's there. Or it's not there. It's a pile of rubble.
You and I are not going to go to Rome anytime soon. As far as we're concerned, the Colosseum's gone. It was nice. We had never seen it. We never will see it now. It's
had
gone.
A good life.
Whatever.
Lasted a few hundred years.
Exactly. Until someone comes back and says, oh no, I was just in Rome. The Colosseum's still there. All of a sudden that changes things. It becomes weird, right? Until that happens, especially if nobody else, if not just us, but if every news organization had that in there, the Colosseum would be gone. And why is it? It's because there's a lot of stuff in our life that doesn't exist as concrete reality. It exists in this sort of pseudo-reality made up of pictures and videotape and stories, reports, things like that. As stories and reports and videotape and things get easier to mimic and to replace and all that, reality is going to start warping. It's already done it somewhat, but well, it's going to get...
It's getting to the point where we choose our own reality.
Right, exactly. This is one of the things that back when I was a kid, my sister couldn't understand why my parents were voting Republican.
Yeah.
You know, don't they see whatever? I was like, well, let me ask you a question. How would you like to live in a world where we were right all the time, where the United States never did anything wrong? Well, that's where they're at. They live in that world.
Yeah.
And we can't get there because we know some of the problems that happen. Oh, man. You know. I watched video of a guy pouring out water in the desert. You know, cases and cases of water that people had left for migrants, pouring the water out. And I'm like, oh, that's awful. And somebody else says, oh, well, that's actually, you know, 5 years old or whatever. Like, this is back from when Obama was president.
Right.
It doesn't stop it from being awful. It's still a bad deal. But again, those migrants, that water, all that stuff exists on that level of reality that isn't tied to any physical interaction with me in my day-to-day life. It's a little crazy. It's sort of like how, you know how the dollar is supposed to have gold backing it? That concept?
Yes.
And there are some conspiracy-minded people who are like, Fort Knox is empty. There isn't any gold. It's like that.
I have not heard of that conspiracy, but I'll buy it.
And Jennifer has come in and she's holding two mice. I said Jennifer's come in and she's holding two mice.
Oh, first it was snakes, now it's mice?
Yeah, no, but it's the mice for, yeah. That's funny, though. I like it.
No, I only handle small snakes.
Exactly. Jennifer said she only handles small snakes. Not a word out of you, Ben Lawrence. Okay, hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
So, anyway, yay, uplifting this time. So awesome. Speaking of uplifting, it's so awesome, though. Here comes Betty.
I think
she'll be here.
Yeah.
So Betty is obsessed now with a video game called Bendy and the Ink Machine. Which we might have talked about a little bit last time.
Is that what she was playing last week?
Yes, that is what she was playing last week.
But also, there was a snake in the house.
Yeah, we were talking about the snake. Speaking about things in the house, though, here's the thing, Ben.
There's a Lego set of it, and I really like it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No more build-up, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Not everything needs build-up, Dad.
What?
Betty is pushing me in the forehead with her foot. Yes, so there's a Bendy and the Ink Machine Lego set.
Ah.
I don't think it's actually by Lego. I think it's a Lego knockoff. Cool.
Interconnecting brick set.
Yes, exactly. And there she goes. Once again, Ben.
Brief.
You called it. yeah. Let's see. We got 5 minutes. Anything that you want to plug or anything going on?
No, I already mentioned earlier that I'm pretty much knee deep in this web project, and it's something that I've been putting off for a while. It's always, you know, you have those projects where in the back of your mind it's like, you know, if I only just finished that, I would be done with everything. And, you know, never thinking that something else will come along. There's always going to be that project, that thing, that piece of art, that website that, you know, you're always going to. Once I start it, then I'll just get into it.
Oh, hey, now that's something. I can, one last thing. I've been talking about the concept of audiences.
Okay.
Right? With my friend KMO. KMO has he does art stuff. He and I had collaborations we did with comics, stuff like that.
Right. He hosted and the website where you originally posted Giraffe and Elephant.
That's correct. And I had made a statement that you know, I like having a smaller audience full of people that get me more than a big audience that I have to, like, kind of cater to. And you know, when I said it, I was thinking a lot about Spin the Bottle and how that kind of worked out. Spin the Bottle right. wasn't, like, a huge auditorium of people. We didn't make, like, a ton of money, but it was fun.
Right.
And he said that if you choose that type of audience, you know, you lots of times have to worry about, you know, like you can't really make a living off your art that way. You have to kind of have a day job. And I was like, you know, I prefer having a day job and getting to do sort of what I want.
Yeah.
Because I've done both.
Yeah, it's one way to look at it.
And yeah, now granted, am I making a lot of art right now? Not really, but, I drew a pony for John Lurie, and that was fun.
A pony?
Yeah.
For who?
I drew a little pony. John Lurie, he's the guy who did Fishing with John, and he's a musician.
Never heard of him.
He was in Down by Law. Oh, it was his birthday yesterday.
Ah. Well, and happy birthday, dude.
What's that?
I said happy birthday, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Who I don't know.
Happy birthday. It's totally not your birthday by the time this comes out, John Lurie, and you're not listening to this, but John Lurie is a really interesting cat. Speaking of interesting cats,
hey, Abby!
I got Abby right here. She's right here. Look, Abby. Abby, sniff the microphone. Sniff the microphone. Can you do that? Maybe I'll make her purr. Maybe you'll hear. She's rubbing her face against the microphone now. This is going to be good audio,
man. It's great. It sounds great from here. I can't hear anything.
Okay, well, all right. Oh, yeah, she totally loves it. Oh, look at that. you can't see it, but she was in love with the microphone, at least for a little bit.
Now that microphone belongs to her.
Exactly. Smells like my cat. All right, that sound was the cover of the microphone snapping back on. I think it's fine.
All right.
All right, Riv- Ben.
Riveting final couple of minutes here.
Yeah, exactly. Always quantity over quality is what I say, Ben.
Indeed.
Give the people the exact number they want.
We know how to keep our audiences small, is what I'm telling you.
We should I was about to say, I thought, until you said small, I was like, do we? And then when you finished with small, I was like, yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much. Hey, listen, you listening to this now, Ben and I are your friends, and we like you.
We're sorry that most of today's episode was, that it was this episode.
Yeah, yeah, this is a downer. But hey, what isn't, right?
But that happens, okay, that happens every once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, there were no corrections. Jennifer, fact checker, my wife, noticed that we didn't really have any facts to check. It was all basically opinion. And wouldn't you know, maybe the same thing will happen next week.
I'm guessing she'll probably turn it off about 20 minutes in.
Oh, I'm so sorry if you're still listening. All right, Ben.
All right, Paul.
But until then, I still ask you to keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
All right. It was great talking to you, Ben.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I turned this off. And then, no, I haven't turned anything off. Okay, now I'm turning this off. And I'm turning this off.